Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah.
Hallelujah. You know, in the book of Exodus, it says that the armies of the Lord set off from Egypt. 600,000 families set off. Historically, it says, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on the very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for the bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. Now it says that there were 600,000 people. 600,000 people. Now historically, they say there were 3 million people because they were saying, it says 600,000 heads of families. That means men counting heads of families. So if you count the women and the children, they say an army of 3 million people. Even in today's context, 3 million people moving in one direction is a massive number. Now imagine what it was like those years where you had 3 million people walking out of a kingdom heading in the direction of the Red Sea. Now there, when they walked out, everything up until that point, even crossing the Red Sea, everything was done for them by the Lord. They didn't have to have any input. The simple input, they had just to put blood on the lintels of their houses on the Passover day, and that's it. Other than that, there was very little input that was expected from them all the way until they crossed the Red Sea. Now, when they crossed the Red Sea, that's when they were supposed to start having input. It wasn't just supposed to be now God. But the problem is they wanted it to just be God. But God was saying, now you also have to come and involve yourself. Okay? He knew they were slaves. They could not conquer Egypt. So he did that for them. But now they had to come and do something about it. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 2, you get it from the Amplified Version. It says, it is 11 days journey from Horeb, from Mount Sinai, by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea on the Canaan's border. That is, from when they crossed the Red Sea, after crossing the Red Sea, it was 11 days journey to the promised land, to the border of Canaan. Yet Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before crossing the border and entering Canaan, the promised land. Now, 11 and 40 are both numbers associated with trial everywhere in the Bible. 40 is always associated with trial. Look at it, you know, this number, you know, Goliath attacking Israel for 40 days before David came and put him down, and all these other things, 40 days of, you know, Jesus fasting and so on. The real 40 days, 40, not days, years or days is a number of trial. And so is 11. It's also a number of trial. Okay? And that's why you see these numbers keep on showing up. And everywhere they show up, you know that there is something that is being said. For instance, when Delilah went and asked the Philistine heads, what will you give me if I deliver Samson, your enemy, to you? They told her 1,100 pieces of silver. There is a reason they say 11. It's always that number of trial. Now, so you're supposed to pass that. And it keeps on showing that. But that's not the purpose of me telling you this. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is, it was supposed to be a short period of trial, 11 days. But it was extended to 40 years. And in all those years, of all the people who were of age at the time that they set off from Egypt, when the armies of the Lord set off from Egypt, of all the people who were of age, only two people arrived in the promised land. Now, in between there, if you had gone in that small journey, imagine a journey of 11 days on foot, not by car, on foot, and how short that journey is, really. And now imagine 3 million bodies buried within that short distance, or thereabout. So if somebody had gone there, they would have found so many shallow graves, so many carcasses, perhaps some of them even unburied, all along that way of people who had died heading to the promised land. And only two of them arrived. But in there were so many things that were of extreme importance. Almost everything that you want to, even the absoluteness of the miraculous in that period, of the provision of God. You know, of course, about the manna, the provision of, you know, angels' food, what the Bible calls angels' food. You know what the Bible says, that people's clothes never got worn out on them because there was nowhere to get clothes. So God made sure the clothes they left with in Egypt, say, number one, never got worn out, and number two, grew with the people. I mean, that's absolutely miraculous. Even sandals and what grew with along with the people. So if the child left with sandals for a child, when he becomes mature, the sandals grow miraculously to that whatever. Then in between there was what Caleb said, that he was 40 years old when they came from spying the promised land, which is in Numbers 13. And all the people who died because they did not believe in God, when God said that for him and Joshua they will enter the promised land, Caleb said, the minute the Lord said that, he stopped aging. So he said, now 40 years later, when they finally arrived in the promised land, he said, I still have the same strength, the same energy that I had that time. In other words, God stopped the clock of his age. So there was a lot of miraculous things that happened within that time. Okay? Only not the kind of miracles that they wanted yet. But you see, people have to understand that God created time for man. He did not create man for, I mean, you know, eh? So we get ruled by time, but God actually created time for man. So if you notice, the Bible says, accounts for 6,000 years from Adam to where we are now, 6,000 years. But if you go and talk to these geologists and these people who do carbon dating and what, I don't know how accurate that is, they say the earth is a lot older than that. Now, they can be right, and the Bible is of course right, because there was, from before, there was that pre-Adamic period. God started counting the clock when he created Adam. Before that, there was no time. And after that, after we are here, there's no time in heaven. So time was just for man. Time was for man's stay on earth. So now you're on earth, you have time. Before that, there was none whatsoever. In the realm he exists, there is no time. There could have been billions of years, whatever scientists, crap, those scientists say. There's a lot of rubbish they say, but whatever it is they say, it could have been the case, because the time didn't exist. It started with Adam. Now, when God created Adam, he created time. So he says, in the beginning. So now, the beginning means the beginning of time. Okay? In the beginning, God made, you know. So, my point is, so if God created time for man, then he can switch off the time, like he did with Caleb. And 40 years later, he says, I'm still the strength. He's 80 years old now. And he says, I'm as strong as I was 40 years ago. I can do everything I could do 40 years ago. And that was even in the Old Testament, which was an inferior testament to the one that we have. And yet, all that happened in that period of trial. Amen. But still in that period of trial, even amidst all that miracles, there were so many corpses of people littered there in the wilderness. People who were going to a land of promise and never arrived. There are so many things that happen in that promised land. I mean, in that period of trial. And I would like you to know that it's not any different from what we go through right now. The symbolism, not the symbolism, what it is now is when you get born again, you've crossed the Red Sea, sort of. Now, after that, God starts expecting something of you. And you have to start putting yourself in a certain direction. He will help you. He will aid you, just like he did the children of Israel. You cry out, there is no water. He says, okay, keep quiet, keep quiet, keep quiet. Hit that rock and there is water. We want food. Okay, it's okay, it's okay. We'll give you food. Now we are tired of this food. We want meat. He says, okay, I will send quails. Then he sends quails. Now, that actually happens even now Christian walk. There are so many things which you can ask for in unbelief when you are newly born again, and you'll get them. Now the trouble is you get used to getting them in unbelief. And then God thinks that by now you should have matured. Now you should be in position to actually believe for them. But for you, you still want them the other way. And now by this time you should know better. So he does not give it to you. And that's just the way the world is. I mean, when a child is young, if they decide you are not going to sleep the whole night, you will not sleep. But when they grow up, if they refuse to sleep, you give them chibok. Because now things have changed. Now imagine if a child wanted to do the same things they would do when they were 6 months. Cry the whole night and everybody is running around and what makes you dance all night. And you have no choice, you do it. Now the child is 6 years and tries to do the same. It can't work. Now that's how it is in our Christian walk. And that's how it is for these children of Israel. So at the beginning they cry, you want this, he gives. You want this, he gives. This is what we are, he gives. No questions asked. And they were saying very, very weird things. Okay? They were threatening to go back to Egypt. They were threatening, we are going to do this, and so on. That's exactly how children talk. Even in normal life, isn't it? Children will say, I hate you, I don't want... Okay, they don't let them say that. But you know, they can't say anything. There is lots of things they say, and they will get away with it. Okay? Because they are children. Now, then they go. Even words. They will say words, and they will get away with it. Now, the children of Israel kind of became comfortable being children, and they didn't realize that along the way God expected them to mature and now become adults. So now by the time they reached Numbers 13, and then they sent those people to go and spy the promised land. According to God, now they were ready to go into the promised land. After I had protected them from so many things, he says, now I think you're ready to face the real world as a believer. I think your level of faith now, you can stand up and believe for something. Then they go, and of course you know what happened. The false report. Now that false report comes, and all these people choose to believe the false report about the promised land. And they say, even now in Numbers, that they say that, you see, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? That our children might die in the wilderness. Now, that's not the first time they were saying that. They had said that so many times. But now, God said, you remember what it says? You look for that scripture. He says, as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my hearing, so shall it be. You are going to die in the wilderness. But they had said it like so many times, but that time those times they were children. So he just overlooked. But now he says, no. Now you're not supposed to speak like that. Now, maturity, so he says, get out of the Amplified. Let's go back to the other one and look for. Well, he says, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Go ahead. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years on and above. You've been saying that, why do you bring us here to die in the wilderness? There is no food, no what? Then God says, no, Sirika, what do you want? We want meat. Okay, there is meat. But now at some stage, he says, we are going to die in the wilderness. Says, okay, now you are going to actually die in the wilderness. Okay? Now, so all those who were 20 years and above died, except Caleb and Joshua. So that's my point here. My point is that this whole story, Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians, that let this thing be examples to us. Because all this happened as an example. So it is. The life that we live in, the current life, there is a wilderness that we go through. A wilderness, it is not a wilderness, but a wilderness of trial. It can be 11 days, it can be 40 years. You can die in the wilderness, you can arrive in the promised land. It is all up to you, and it is all up to your heart. And actually, that journey, that 11 days journey, in our New Testament reality, is that long distance between the mind and the heart. You see, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Is that what it says? Does it say that? No, it doesn't say that. I wish it was that simple. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, not in your mind, there is a big, there is a long journey of 11 years of 11 days of 40 years. You go to Proverbs 23 verse 7. You see, there is that long journey from your mind to your heart. That is the place where there are all the dead bodies of dreams, of promises which God gave, which are not going to be fulfilled in people's lives. For as he thinks in his heart, that's because the heart is the seat of everything that comes to you. It says that in Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow all the issues of what? Life. Now, the life that you have, or the life that you lead, is actually the state of your heart. What is in your heart? Anyway, my point is, so he says, keep your heart, or guard your heart, with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. It says actually elsewhere, all the issues of life, every issue of life springs from the heart. But the distance between the heart, between the mind and the heart, is that desert that you have to go through. Is that desert. Because everything that you get, you receive as a promise, as a check. Okay? Now, those people, there were so many checks which were not cashed out. A check of land flowing with milk and honey, a check of prosperity, a check of everything which was given by God. But you have to go and cash it out. But as long as that thing stays in your mind, which is where it stays for most people, it's not going to be cashed out. So you will hear that God promised you a life of prosperity, but you will die in the wilderness. In other words, you die broke. Okay? You hear that God promised a life of health, but you die sick, perpetual on medicine, because you've not cashed that check. And because those words never moved out from your mind to your heart. But if you thought that in your heart, as he thinketh in his heart, it would be a reality in your life. Because out of the heart flow all the issues of life. Guard your heart. Keep your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. All diligence. Now, you know, I'll tell you this. That's what I call the distance of the wilderness between your thoughts, your good thoughts in the mind, and your real thoughts in the heart, where they actually matter, where they actually change your life, is so much easier for people to bridge when they have negative things they are thinking about. Because the fallen nature tends to dwell more on the negative than on the positive. So it's easier. You don't need a lot of energy to actually think negative things constantly until you become a bitter person. Or until you become an angry person. It takes very little energy. Somebody annoys you, you set yourself in motion and start thinking negative, negative. You become angry, bitter, and you destroy your life. And actually, you don't know out of your heart. Now, it gets from your mind. There is nobody who doesn't get angry in the mind. But I'll tell you this. You make sure it doesn't get out of your mind to go to your heart. How do you make sure? You don't dwell on it. Don't dwell on any negative. At all, when something is so annoying, so angry, has the capacity to take you in a certain direction, give it only a few minutes and say, hey, but how could this person do this to me? And just dwell on it for 5 minutes and move on. If you dwell there long enough, and it is so much easier there, it will go into your heart. And there it will start controlling you. And it will affect your personality, and it will eventually affect everything that happens in your life. Everything. Everything will come along that line of negativity, anger, you know, rejection, and so on. For instance, you go somewhere and you're rejected. And maybe it happens a second time. And now you're tempted to start making that a theology. And you start saying, I think there's something wrong with me and what? No, there's nothing wrong with you. Just reject it. You say, that person rejected me. They are lost. For me, I'm somebody who is acceptable. I'm accepted among the beloved. The scripture says that in Ephesians 1:6, he has accepted me among the beloved. You confess scripture over it. You refuse it to get into your head. Now, on the contrary, now you actively choose to always bridge that gap between your mind and your heart with positive things. That's where the checks are cashed. That's where the check of prosperity is cashed. Okay? And it is so easy to cash if you can dwell on it the same way you dwell on anger. You will get that money. just at the money, you will think about it for 5 minutes and move on to other things. When somebody annoys you, you think about it for 2 weeks. Now, it's just about what you choose to plug to. Do you plug into anger? Do you plug into bitterness? Do you plug into good thoughts? Now, all these promises of God, like what he gave the children of Israel, all of them are promises, and they are there. And the scripture says he has given us better promises by which we shall be partakers of the divine nature. Everything. But now they are just checks. You either cash them, or a check is no use if you put it in your wallet and walk with it. But it's worth a lot. But until you go and cash it, it's worth nothing. It's just a piece of paper. Now, there are so many of us here are sitting on checks which need to be cashed. You are living in lack. You don't experience abundance. But God has given you the promise of that. The trouble is, the promise is there in your, you know it in your head. And even when I preach this, you say, no, I've heard you preaching this before. That's what the mind tells you. But, you know, I'll tell you this. There was a time they interviewed, there were some of these top golfers and so on. And they came and they were interviewing them. And so they were interviewing Tiger Woods. And he had won 6 straight tournaments. And he was almost unbeatable. So they asked him that, what's the secret? He said, I practice the basics every day. Just that. We thought it was something like powerful. No. He said, I practice the basics every day. Then the man said he wakes up in the morning, has breakfast, goes, meets his business managers. He has, you know, these businesses everywhere. People. And by 9, he's on the golf course practicing. Almost all up to late afternoon. And that is and not practicing, but basics. Now, do you know what it, now you tell a believer to listen to the same word. Now, they are already bored. Now, this man is going to go and get that putter. And the hole is there. And he will shoot, try to, like 1,000 times before the day is over. And you hear a billionaire. But he said, I practice the basics every day. Just that, basics. Now, people think that the secret to success is something powerful, like somebody's going to bring someone. So they are looking. There's nothing. It's just, all these are checks. The children of Israel only had, they had a check of a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. They had a check of so many other promises which God had given them. And before they even reached that, he gave them a sample of giving them angels' food. As I told you, giving people supernatural strength. He said, there was not one who was feeble among you. When you are in Egypt, they are weak people, old people who can't move. But because now you're moving in the wilderness, God makes sure everybody has supernatural strength. The scripture says, there was not one feeble among them. All those were miracles. Okay? Because not all of them were teenagers or young people. Some of them were old people. But they were walking because there was supernatural strength. Now, that is a sample to show you that there is the other thing which is waiting for you. If you can just wait and go and cash it and cash that check. But now that gap, the longest gap between the mind and the heart. Now there are so many pitfalls there. One of them is one I told you there of talking rubbish. Eh? Talking rubbish. The mouth. Some people, if you were to live in the natural, the way you live, if you were to deal in the natural, whatever, the way you deal with the things of God, man, you'd be in serious trouble. Imagine if you're a lady and in the morning, a guy comes and tells you, I love you, you're the love of my life and what. Then in the evening, he says, man, I don't know where you're going. I don't know where this is heading. Then in the next morning, he loves you. That's how you are in the spirit. In the morning, you're confessing, I'm blessed. By the afternoon, you're saying very negative things, which have canceled everything. Basically, on your check, canceling it like this. And it's not going to be accepted by any bank. Because you cannot just be, you struggle to be consistent with your words. Because your words are emitters of emotion rather than of fact. So you cannot say that, okay, when your emotions get in a certain way, then you speak accordingly. Then when they get in a certain way. And I'll tell you this. From when you're born, from the moment you're born, and you start understanding, there is a conspiracy by the world to make sure that you never bridge the gap between your mind and your heart. And that conspiracy comes at you in ways you will never expect. You, for instance, I look at people who are my age, it was a lot easier for us because we did not watch certain things when we were young. But now go and watch a cartoon. Now, so when a child is young, 2 years, they are watching cartoons which are flying from... Now, by default, your mind becomes like that. So you cannot actually sit down and think about something. If they told you to think about something for five minutes, you'd rather run a marathon. Because your mind is, by default, is all over the place. So when you are at that age, you're watching those cartoons, then you get a bit older, then there's these phones which are presenting, you know, and you're scrolling. Then when you're a bit older, you're watching music videos. Have you ever wondered, why do music videos have to be like that? Is there a reason why music videos have to be... Okay, they are showing you somebody dancing. They show you a little, they go there, then they go there, they go there, then they come back here, then they go there. And just, and you see that if your mind, by the time somebody is like 14 years old, their mind is by default all over the place. And it is so difficult for them to tame it. It's very unruly, extremely unruly, and difficult for them to tame it. So now, when your mind is unruly, your life will be unruly. You become all activity and no output. Have you ever seen these people wake up in the morning, to-do list? Today I have to do this, to do this. You know, say, I have to accomplish this. Then you take to-do list. Then you do to-do list for 6 months and you look at, take stock of what you've done in that 6 months, and there is nothing. You've just been busy, you see, eh? And now, you even feel uncomfortable sitting down and doing something because your mind is so you have to move and you have to go here. I have to do this. Hey, I haven't called so and so. This one, so and so called me. I'm going to call him back. This one, what I'm going to do this. What? Then you become a slave of your phone. Like, your phone cannot, if you decided even to do something and you see your phone ringing, everything stops because the phone has rung. I remember I was sitting one day with somebody and said, they are calling you. I knew who was calling. I looked at the screen and I knew who was calling. And I decided I don't have, what I'm doing is more important than talking to that person. Okay? Now, the person said, but they are calling you. I said, yes, he's calling me, but I'm doing something. I'm busy. If he was here, I would tell him, wait out there. So what makes him think that because he has come through the phone, I have to drop everything I'm doing? To attend through him. Because, I mean, you have no control over your life because your phone... Now, I'll tell you, some of you cannot even switch off your phone for one day, like this. You can't switch off your phone. That's why you live in the realm of your mind and you'll have so many uncashed checks and you'll never experience the fulfillment of life that God desires that you fulfill because you are too busy. You see, the scripture says in Psalms 46, verse 1, be still and know that I am God. There's something about that place of being still. There's nothing agitating you. You're still. And then you start, you know, thinking. So, all this conspiracy against you, the words that you speak, you go in companies of people and listen to the words that people speak. It takes a lot of energy to just not speak like that. Just not to speak like them. And because people don't understand the power of words, they don't. They actually don't understand the power of words. So they will just speak. Hey, man, we have waited it. Hey, Uganda again, yeah. Those are, now you said that at some stage and you forgot. Then you try everything in Uganda and it's not working, but you set a phone, you said it. And you actually stood and said, Uganda again. There's nothing that works in Uganda. I think you have failed with you. Now you think that just because you were saying it in a certain moment, that it does not matter. It, you know, it. I didn't mean it. I was just saying it. My God, it does matter. By the way, if you knew how much words matter, you would be very careful. First of all, you would learn how to tame your tongue. When people are saying things like, you know, all manner of things. You might remember they would say, January. Ah, man, January, brokenness, what? Then people start confessing it. Then you come broke in January. And you are the one who confessed it. And you're getting what you confessed. Because you confessed and you believed and you received. That is the formula. You can use it for good or for bad. Now, then I woke up one day and said, but I have the same salary in every other month that I have in January. Why is it that January I am broke? Then I realized that I had sowed with my lips. So I started like October saying, January I'm going to be very loaded. I'm going to be loaded. I started unconfessing all the stupidity. And then the January came and actually I had money. Now, but you see those are things which seep through. You know, you sit down with friends and they're talking negativity. And now I'll tell you this. If they are not born again, they might get away with it because for them they are in the earth. But when the enemy is looking for something against you that he can use, and then you go and say something stupid, he says, you've armed him. Because that's what he's looking for. Now, if you keep on confessing positive, you're frustrating him. You don't know, but you're actually frustrating every effort of his. You wake up in the morning, you have nothing. You say, I'm blessed. My enemy, it's pointless hitting this guy's money. Because even when he doesn't have money, he's believing he's blessed. And after him, so the point is this. In the wilderness, those people said, we are going to die in the wilderness. At first, it's okay. It's okay, you're a child, you're a baby. Then sometimes, no, it's not okay. You're going to die. Then you know what happened when God told them they are going to die? They said, okay, now let's go to the promised land. He said, too late. You are actually going to die in the wilderness. And that was it. Their fate was sealed. Praise the Lord. You know, I use this illustration a lot. I just want to use this to demonstrate, and I've told you this before. In the book of Mark, chapter 14, start from verse 70. Mark chapter 14, the Gospel of Mark. It says, this is now Peter. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. Go ahead. Then he began to curse and swear, and said, I do not know this man of whom you speak. Okay, that is Peter denying Jesus. As Jesus had prophesied that Peter would deny. The second rooster crowed, then Peter called to mind what Jesus had said to him before the rooster crows twice, you deny me three times. And he thought about it and wept. So he was sorry. Praise the Lord. So he said it when they were in a moment of hardship. And he was sorry afterwards. So it doesn't matter. Is that so? Sorry, it matters. It matters. Now if you go to Mark chapter, the same gospel, chapter 16, start from verse 5. Mark chapter 6. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Go ahead. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter. Suddenly, Peter is no longer among his disciples. He's the one who said he doesn't know him. So he says, go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's gone before you to Galilee. Now, Peter spoke himself out of being the disciples. But because, of course, the grace of God was there, he eventually restored him. But he said, I'm not one of them. I don't know the man. And now that is sealed, especially if it is said in passion, with passion. Of course, there are words which are said not with a lot of passion. But if you say something in the moment of passion, and you say it and it comes from the heart, it is sealed. Now, of course, the grace, you can go and unsay it, but you might need to unsay it like 100 times before it is undone. So every time you are in a tight point and you go and say something as stupid as, man, Uganda, Ganye, then you wake up tomorrow, 5 years later, nothing has changed. you're still in Uganda trying to make something out of it. You sowed a seed, you're like Peter. I remember when the first time I saw this, I said, my God, I thought Jesus had even prophesied. So I thought it didn't matter. It mattered. Because he said it with passion, he even swore, no, I don't know that man, no. Okay. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so, in this wilderness, first of all, there is that mindset which is created of all over the place. You are doing things. You are always busy. I'm busy. We are busy doing this. We are busy doing this. And see, the thing about being busy is it appeals to your ego. Because we are truly busy. We are busy, you know. Here we are. You know, they even say that if you want something done, give it to a busy person. So like they make it look like being busy is what? Is a mark of, you know, there's something. Have you ever called people, I'm in a meeting? Eh? And they say it in a... Sometimes they're just meeting somebody for coffee, talking rubbish. And I remember, and they will not switch off. That's so stupidity. If you're in a meeting, switch off your phone. But they will want to answer to tell you they're in a meeting. Because a meeting sounds like what? You're plotting something major. So your ego is, well, you know, to a meeting, I'll call you back later. And you don't even call back. Anyway, my point is this. I'm busy. And you spend Monday to Sunday. Now you know how your whole week is. Monday I do this, Tuesday I do this, Wednesday I do this, Thursday I do this. Friday I do this, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 15 years, 25 years, 35 years. Where is the joy? Where is the life? Is that what God created us to be like? That we are always permanently busy doing some things, trying to get things, put things together, to kuyunga things here and there, this and this and that and what? Praise the Lord. And now there, the gap between you never cross from your mind to your heart. Never. So you'll have all these wonderful promises. You'll even get angry at somebody who will tell them to you. Again, you'll get angry because you're not seeing the result. But you are the one who has a problem because you've never taken the step to actually think on that thing long enough for it to move, to seep from your heart, from your mind to your heart. Remember it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, that's what he is. If in his heart he thinks he's rich, he's rich. But what if he has no money? It is going to show up. That's what the Bible says. The law says, if you think you're rich, in your heart, not in your mind. In your mind, everybody thinks they are rich. But it stops there. Now, that's where the carcasses of dreams, of unwritten checks, of all sorts of things fall. This one spoke their way out of a miracle. Was going to happen. They spoke rubbish. It's no longer happening. This one took a wrong turn and went somewhere. It's not happening. This one, somebody came and gave him fake advice and he went. It's not happening. This one, what? And all these are people who started somewhere and they are going somewhere. Now, when there is a setback in my life, I look back and say, did I miss any step? And I'm very, very honest with myself. Is it possible that I missed a step somewhere? If I don't feel I missed a step, then I know that I'm going to get what the scripture says. Because the only one thing that is guaranteed is that the word of God always works. So I know I'm going to get it. As long as I know I did not miss any step. There is no step that I missed whatsoever. Now, people miss steps. You are supposed to be in this place. You go another place. You're supposed to be doing this. You go someplace. And so the things which God put to build you up, to get you to that promised land, you never actually stay long enough with him to accomplish them. Never. Now the journey, that journey is meditation. The easiest way. If you want it to be 11 days instead of 40 years, you have to learn how to meditate. Now the thing about meditation is you'll have to take time off your schedule. Okay? And you'll have to value it ahead of activity. Because your mind tells you the only progress you are going to apparently make is activity. So you have to value meditation. Now, what is going to make the difference between those who are employers who carry a dream and under which so many people are covered and those who are actually just running around on somebody's dream is meditation. Just that. And now so many people in the world have learned the power of it. Only they go to the demonic world to meditate. Okay? So you find those CEOs in Buddhist temples with their legs like this, meditating. But they spend 6 months there. 6 months. And these are busy people. And for you think you're busy, you're lying yourself. These are top CEOs of big, big, big companies. Big companies. But they spend 6 months meditating. But you who is running a grocery in Chanja, you're too busy. And you see the scripture says, 1 Timothy 4:15. It says, meditate on these things and your progress shall be evident to all. And it talks about that a lot, by the way. It talks about that a lot. I remember seeing in Genesis, Isaac, get us that scripture. Isaac says that he had gone in the evening. He had gone to the fields to meditate. I said, these guys. Okay, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress might be evident. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, meditate on this. Give yourself entirely to them. Now, giving yourself entirely, you can't meditate when your phone is on. You're not giving yourself entirely. And the devil knows it. By then, let me tell you, the minute you start meditating, you will see how many people will come for. There was a time I was trying to get something done, which I wanted done. At least not too long ago. So I realized that the only power I had actually was to get into a state of meditation. So I sat down and I started, closed my eyes and I started meditating to a certain effect. My God, people showed up from everywhere. The devil knows how to use his people. Somebody comes, hey, what are you here? What? Then he sits and starts talking. Then I manage to politely get rid of him so that I continue with my meditation. Another one came, another one. That was the end of the meditation. They will not allow you because he knows that if I'd actually sat down and focused my thing without, but unfortunately I had to be in a public place. So I sat down and, and I meditated. I even started getting carried away in a certain way. So I was even halfway between sleep and wakefulness, and I was beginning to see what I wanted. And it was going to happen. But now the enemy knows that you do that, but he will show up. But people don't understand how the enemy can use people around you to make sure you don't get into certain things which actually matter. You try meditation, try doing anything by faith, actually believing God. You will see how people will show up. If you've not deliberately cut them off, they will show up because he knows that's where the thing is. All his servants are there in the Himalayas with their legs like this, meditating on how to subdue people. Christians think they are too busy to. But you guys, don't deceive yourself that the world will collapse without you. If you go away for some days, it will not. You will come back and people will even forget you have existed. But you will come back with fresh ideas. You will come back when you've been infused with something which is above. If you want to get things done, you do. You know, I remember reading those people. I said, how can somebody like that, who is heading powerful companies, go away for 6 months? Who is running the company? He comes back, the company goes higher, like this. Says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Entirely. Now, every time you give yourself entirely, you are bridging the gap between your mind and your heart. You're actually cashing your check. So you meditate on something, and that's where information becomes revelation. Because now here you get information. Yeah, you know what? There's nothing that we are going to tell you that you haven't already had. But it's just information in your head. If you want it to be revelation where now, it actually, you know that now this is, I have understood this. I remember when I meditated on finances, and I meditated on them so much. And then, thankfully, those days, there was nobody to disturb me. A lot of people, nobody had interest in me. So I would give myself entirely, wake up in the morning and give myself entirely to eat up to about afternoon when I would get hungry. And then I go to find something to eat. like about 3 or 4 p.m. And that was like a daily thing. Then at some stage, after so long, at some stage, I realized that, okay, now this is the end of brokenness. And I'm telling you, you just know it, that now God created me for provision. I am provided for this. Nothing. Like, you just know that now from here onwards, I'm going to go higher and higher and higher. And there is nothing that can stop me. Now, you can think, you can say that we started this year thinking of meditating on abundance. Some of you, like, it states, like, there is a graveyard. Here. Graveyards. The heart is there. The day it will get there, it will become revelation. And then you know, okay, now I know. This is going to actually be. So, transformation happens there. Revelation, when you know something, and now nobody can convince you anything, you know it. Okay? You can meditate on a word until you get to a point where you know you will never be sick any day of your life. And you know it. You know that even if you went and they diagnosed you, it's something you laugh at the guy who has diagnosed you and said you have nothing to do. Because you know, and you know that. Now, that place, you don't get there by the head. You get there by meditation. Okay? Now, that is an art which has been forgotten about by believers. Because we are so busy reading the Bible. Bible study and what? Which is good. But that is just going to go to your head. Now, after that, the journey to the heart. So, he says, you see, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says, now it's all over the scriptures. Joshua 1 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then will you make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now the question is, who makes your way prosperous? You. God did not say he will make your way prosperous. He says, meditate on these words, then you will make your own way prosperous. It's up to you. Entirely up to you. For him, he has given you a check. He's not going to go and cash it. It is up to you to go and cash the check. If you don't want, keep it in your wallet and be broke. That check is not going to buy you lunch. Okay? Now, then he says also in Psalms 1, I'm trying to show you that everything that we have in form of promise. And those promises are very powerful if we could only give ourselves time. But delight, start from verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the unscornful. In other words, who dwells among certain people? Because the people among whom you dwell will determine what your conversation is. So you dwell among certain people. So if you are in a group of people who are always negative, speaking negative, always talking about how, making it look like, you know, when somebody starts asking me stupid questions, that where do you get money from? Where do you get money? I move away from them because they are stupid. If they are born again. If they are not born again, I find a way of, you know. But if you're born again, like, you have the same check that I have. Me, I cashed mine. If you choose not to cash yours, that's your stupidity. Because they try to start making you think in a certain way. So go back to the scripture. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk with the sin. Walks not with the counsel, in the counsel of the ungodly. Remember, he doesn't say who does not walk with the ungodly. That's not possible. You have to walk with ungodly people. But says who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Because they have counsel. They'll come and start telling you, man, we have to do this, we have to do this, we do this. And they have their counsel. And it's wise counsel for some people. But for you, like, it's different. What you're trying to pursue should be different. No stands in the path of sinners. No sits in the seat of the scornful. Okay? Next verse. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now you see, it says his delight. Now some people, it's an onerous task. It's a duty, a burden for you to even sit in the word of God. If only you knew all the answers of life dwell inside there. If only you knew that God created you to never lack anything. Because he says even the birds lack nothing. Even the animals lack nothing. That's what Jesus was saying. He says the birds don't have barns where they keep food and what, but do they never lack anything to eat? So you were not made to lack. God never intended that the crown of his creation, man, created in his image, has nothing to eat. Like, that's not how he never intended it like that. Praise the Lord. That's why he first made everything Adam would ever need. Then he made Adam. So Adam would never come and say, I need water, I need food. Everything had already been made before even God ever made him. Since Muslims say that every child is born with their luck, that somehow provision, so they don't believe in these family planning things. That's the word they use. A child is born with, I don't know what they call it. Whatever. But there's a bit of truth. Because not that you go and give birth like, you know, but the point is, like there's a child, God never, nobody shows up on this earth unless God has set their life and what they are going to do and how they are going to be comfortable all their life. It's already set before you ever even conceived. That's how it is. Now, the trouble is you have to be convinced from the beginning. There is lack. There is this. They were the children of Israel were. You know, you're convinced that, you know, this is not enough. This is not enough. So your experience comes from what you experience right now comes from a lifetime of lack and all those things. But now when you go and change your mindset and say, if Jesus said that even the birds cannot, you know, I look at those animals, the way they can be abundant, have an abundance mindset. I remember I would see monkeys when it's mango season. They get a mango, bite it once, throw it away, get another one, bite once, throw it away. They live abundantly. But now for you, even go to a restaurant, say you pack that food which has left. And they just move little chips like this. You also want to pack. Because your mindset is what? Is lack. Train your mindset to be abundant. Because that's how God... Imagine even animals know that if I'm hungry, there will be food. But human beings, created in the image of God, are scared. Then the restaurant say, should we park? There's a time I saw, there was even nothing left. Somebody had eaten. Then they, should we park? Hey, you park. I said, oh my God. Huh? If you're born again and you do that, you need chibo. Not, anyway, I'm sorry. But it says, but you have to train your mind to be abundantly thinking. That when I'm hungry again, there will be more food. Then you have a fridge which is full of chips of 2 weeks ago. Then a bag of how many weeks ago? And you look disorganized. Because you're still living in your mind. You've never crossed over to your heart. In your heart, there is abundance. If you can cross, get these words into your heart, you know that God said, like, God cannot wake up in the morning and there is no food in the world to feed me. How can he? He created me. He knows my stomach needs food. He knows I need clothes. Is that what Jesus said? That your Father in heaven knows you need these things. He knows it. So now, why do you think that you are not going to have it? Anyway, but in the law of the Lord, he meditates day and night. He delights. First of all, he delights. And then he meditates day and night. Go ahead. Then he says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. It is all in your hands. Whatever he does shall prosper. What are you thinking about? What are you meditating on? If you are meditating on lack, that's what you are going to manifest. Lack, I mean L-A-C-K. If you are meditating on abundance, that's what you are going to manifest. If you have scriptures which promise you abundance, just get them. Take those scriptures away from the book into your mind, and from your mind to your heart. And then you'll see that will become the story of your life. Abundance all the time. Praise the Lord. Now, this is basics, which I'm teaching. Basics. But I have to keep on reminding people basics. Then he says, so he keeps on saying meditate. Then he says, Isaac, in the evening, these are farmers, already blessed, son of Abraham, blessed. But in the evening, he goes to the field to meditate. You cannot build a company which employs even, let's say, a successful company which employs even 20 people unless you learn how to meditate. You're lying yourself. You can't. That company has to first be built inside you before it is built outside you. Do you understand? A certain man said, whom I'm not going to quote because he's a fake man. But what he said was right. He said, I am not a businessman. I am a business man. So, He just separated. Now the point is that you have to be the business. You are as big as what is inside you. You can't create something outside of yourself that is bigger than what is inside you. And what is inside you is built through meditation. You go somewhere and construct it inside you. When you are away, your phone is off, you're what, you know, somewhere. And you construct it inside yourself. And you start seeing certain things. And you plan what ideas start flowing to you. You might even be tempted to write some, to do, you know. That's where the be still and know that I am God. That's where you're quiet and confident. Then you'll see how your mind starts to operate. Okay? And you'll start getting weird ideas. And then you write them down. Then you come out. Then you cannot be a businessman unless you're a business. Okay? You have to first be the business. And it has to first be actualized in yourself. And then it manifests outside of you. Now the lie that you can build something outside of yourself that is bigger than what you have in yourself is a lie from the pits of hell. You end up being activity, 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 and nothing happens. Full of activity. From morning up to evening, you're busy. We are doing this, you're running all over the place, you're what, you are, and you end up tired, exhausted, you never enjoy life. By the way, that's also a curse. Eh? There's even people here, almost telling some people, there are people here who we need to learn from how to eat money. Because there are people who don't know how to eat money. Eh? How to enjoy their money. Somebody has money, and also that's also a curse. Somebody has money, he does not, there's nothing he does that he enjoys. He eats, he's there at Chikubo, he banks hundreds of millions, maybe even billions a day. But they bring him lunch in a cafe of pilau and what? And then cocoa. And where, and okay, that might be, but you ask him, what does he do to enjoy his money? Huh? Nothing. Some of you have to learn how to play golf, go to cruises. Man, you see, if you are, what's the point in having money if you're not going to enjoy it? That's why that man who had Viapa, they told him, they don't, used to have boxes of land titles. He was a mayor here of Kampala. Used to have boxes of land titles, of land here in Kampala, prime real estate here in Kampala. And then one day he was sick. He had a problem, I think, with his heart and what. So he was climbing up, going to see a doctor. Then it goes three steps, then he stops. Then he goes another three, then he stops. Then they told him, Zay, you need to go abroad and they work on your heart. He says, I don't have the money. Masina sent. I said, sell one of those titles, go and get healthcare. I said, you're going to die. And the man died. And the Viapa, I don't know where they are. But okay, you know that's also, that's bondage. Eh? The man, they would, somebody said they would, somebody told me a true story, wait there one day, when somebody wanted to buy, said, let a box, like not box, suitcases of titles. Then they start looking at, in town, serious land. And the man could not even go and treat himself. Not that he believed in divine health. But like the Biapa, he wakes up in the morning and looks at them and smiles. Like, man, the devil also can deceive people. That's deception. Now, anyway, my point is this. When you know that you can actually relax and go somewhere, you'll hear the voice of God. That's the place where you hear the voice of God. When there is no activity, that's why he says, be still and know that I am God. You might not even recognize that this is the voice of God if you are not at the level of whatever. But you will get an idea which you know is original, yours. Yours, and that's the idea which is going to set you apart. And now, not only does God have food for everyone, and drink for everyone. He has ideas for everyone, which is going to set them apart. There is not a person here for whom God doesn't have one specific idea. He says, now for you, I know what is going to make you unique and worthy. Also you. He has ideas for everybody. But you have never gone to him to ask him for them. You're busy pursuing somebody else's ideas. Because you are too busy to step away. From now, we are getting to the end of the year. We are in the final month of the year. Great things are happening today. I know we've been through a bit of a rough time. Even as we still meditated on what? On abundance. Those who actually did meditate on abundance. But this is the word I have from the Lord for you for today. It's from Psalms 65. Start from verse 11. You crown the year with your goodness, and your path drip with abundance. Somebody say amen. He crowns your year, this year, now that we are in the final quarter of the year. Praise the Lord. He crowns this year with what? Goodness. And your path drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness. Now everything that has been wilderness comes alive. And the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures, all the wilderness, they come aside. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Now, if your pastors are shouting for joy, so are you. Praise the Lord. So this year is being crowned with what? Goodness and what? Abundance. That is the word of the Lord for you today. So in these final months, expect abundance. Expect to see something great. But he also showed me something in Psalms still. 66. Start from verse 10. He says, for you, O God, have tested us. This has been what we have gone through. You have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. Go on. You brought us into the net. Who brought us there? Him. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water. But you brought us out to reach fulfillment. Praise the Lord. You brought us out to what? Rich fulfillment. Actually, it says abundant fulfillment. Praise the Lord. So now I want you to prepare for abundance. I want to prepare for these final months, these 3 months. Okay? What has been tight is going to untighten. Yeah? Glory to God. Because we've been tested. Some men have walked over our heads according to what the scripture says. But now he brings us out to what? To reach abundant fulfillment. Glory to God. Now, this is what is happening today. But I also want to caution you people. Never let yourself think that you're too busy to go and spend time. And sometimes when people say to spend time away, people think they're going to go and pray in tongues from morning up to evening. It doesn't have to be like that. Just relax. You pray in tongues if you want. Read the scriptures if you want. Listen to a good message if you want. But just don't do anything. First, break away from the bondage of your phone. Okay? And from the bondage of expectation. Some people are so accustomed to this, they cannot even go to... Somebody was telling me that he was... I don't even know if I should... But you know these people, they are out somewhere, they are asking them, Umana did the mere. What did you cook? What did you what? The children are going to eat whether they're home or not. Huh? Just take time away. Otherwise, you'll be among the bottom. Okay? The bottom. Those people whom you see among the top, none of them work from, like, working like that is for slaves, servants, those who are going to birth ideas like you have to take time and go and spend time with God, where the ideas are nurtured. And by the way, miraculously, you'll find that the work gets done faster the more time you spend with God. Because that's where dreams are nurtured. Okay? When the seed is there, all it needs is the right environment. So you go. Those people you see, somebody who is now like that guy who died, who, you know, the guy of Apple. I don't want to mention his name. He'd 6 months in a year, 6 months every year, just meditating. And then eventually got demons. Okay, my point is that he's the devil, and the devil has his way of rewarding people with early death and what and all that. Now for us, the scripture says with long life he satisfies us. Eh? Amen? Now you meditate, all the things, you have checks in your wallet. Go and cash them. So if somebody who starts a company like Apple can meditate 6 months in a year, not once, every year, 6 months away, who is running the business? He doesn't care. Then it turns out and it's the most profitable business in the world. Because even demonic people have something inside. They are creative, whatever. Because all of us are created with that God, you know, God thing inside us. Psalms 85 says we are all gods and sons of the Most High. Okay? Now, those people know how to tap into it by just going. And now for you, you get scripture, go in the morning. What the devil has done, of course, he has saturated people with a lot of knowledge. So you have a lot of knowledge, but no revelation. You know everything, but you don't know anything. That is the problem with this. Somebody knows one thing, and it's enough to transform their lives. Now for you, you know everything. You know this, you know that, you know the other. There's nothing I'm going to tell you here that you say is new. But see, if I don't remind you, start you next year will end when you're in the same place. Praise the Lord. But now, you see what God said about the Sabbath. There's that guy who they killed. This Christian conservative commentator in America called Charlie Kirk. I was listening to his wife saying that one day every day, every week, one day, he would switch off his phones and do nothing and just spend time meditating. He used to call it the Sabbath principle. Even God, after 6 days of activity, he rested the seventh day. Not the way the seventh day say, but you can just one day of actually being with you, yourself, spending time with yourself. And now that doesn't mean spending time at home with the family and what, cooking porridge and what. No. that does not count. It says you are just spend a day, the whole day just between you. And now he said, now you say that you're busy. That man was busy all over, moving from university to university. But one day every week, phones off, no screens, nothing. He just sits somewhere. Preferably somewhere where you like, where there is nature. You know, now, the more people become advanced, the more they start looking for ordinary things. Now you find people looking for forests. That's where they want. For us, we have enough what? Forests. We haven't even come out of them. No? Now you find those rich people coming, just looking for nature, some sort of nature and what. Now for me, if you get me water, I like water. I like hearing the sound of what, of water. Like, you know that. If you get me, like I had a very good time when I was in Mauritius, like where the whole night that sound. I can meditate until kingdom come. Now, that everyone has what they like. Okay. Some people like, you know, nature, what. Get something you like, which appeals to you, which you enjoy. And then be there and just be there with God. By the way, your likes also are given by God. Amen? Don't think you just like something for. Eh? There is something, what you like is somehow tied to what your destiny is. Eh? Everything about you is planned. Everything. Like, and people don't understand that. You see that the scripture I read here at the beginning where it says, at the end of 430 years, on the very same day, the armies of Israel left. Armies of God left Egypt. Now, it looks like there was a lot of drama. Pharaoh says this, that, but God has sentenced death. After 430 years, he said, after 430 years, you live. And whatever drama happens, after 430 years, you live. And he says, on the very day, 430 years after they came, on the very day, they left. But in the middle there is a lot of drama. So everything in the life of a believer, and that I told you, is all scripted. There is a script of your life. You have to go and find what the script says. Otherwise, you are going to live your life on people's scripts, other people's scripts, and you will be frustrated. You will never be accomplished. You will never feel that you've accomplished yourself until you go and look for your own script and say, now, what is my script? Where has God put me now? And then you sit there and then you come back. If you did it even for just 3 days, 3 days. Okay, two, since you're very busy. More busy than Steve Jobs. Just 2 days. If you say now this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, just myself. By this time on Sunday evening, you'll have ideas which you don't even know you would have. I'm telling you. Now you give it 3 days. Or first chill, relax, pray if you feel like praying, read some scripture if you feel like it. Just relax, be there, and you know, nothing, there's nothing to do. Okay? Your phones are somewhere. Leave them somewhere. You will see. You cannot remain the same. I'm telling you. You cannot remain the same. God will say, finally, I have you. God is busy. Finally, I have you. Now we can talk. I have a plan for you. I want you to start this business. You are going to be great. Now he has got his first opportunity to communicate to you. Before that, you were too busy for him. Then he communicates. Then you come out of there. Then you have this idea. Then you start doing the idea. You reach somewhere and you get stuck a bit. Go back. Then you now, you know, add bricks onto your idea. Within some time, the other people are working for you. They are the ones who are working 6 days. And on the seventh day, they are making porridge for their children. For you, you go away. Now you can go. Now you refine your ideas there. You come, other people are working for you. Now that is your life. Praise the Lord. That's what? Now God is somewhere waiting, saying, Mr. Mubetse, you are very busy, too busy for me. Until now you are newly married Mugole. Frank, you see this gentleman here now is married. Stand up and we congratulate you. You see him there, he won himself some hot chana. Now he's even looking younger and fresher. But take some time away from the chana and what? Praise, I'm just teasing you. Praise the Lord. Okay, now let us have what? Holy Communion. We have the word for the day. Okay, the word for the day, for this Holy Communion is the one I gave. Psalm 65. Somebody say, you crown my year. Say, you crown my year with goodness. And my path drip with abundance. That's my story. These final months of this year. Are you ready for abundance? Stand up if you're ready for abundance. And first say, I am ready for abundance. Now I want you to first see abundance. First forget your lack for some time. See abundance. See abundance because it's crowning this year. The year has been tough, but the crowning moment is now, the final quarter of it. He's crowning it with abundance. Praise the Lord. And his path are dripping with what? He's crowning it with goodness, and his path are dripping with abundance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so just pray in tongues as we receive our Holy Communion. Father, in the name of Jesus, we sanctify this bread and this wine for this, the purpose of Holy Communion, even as the Lord commanded us to do in remembrance of him. So we ask that you sanctify this bread and sanctify this wine in the name of Jesus, and we give you thanks for it. And we thank you that even as we partake of it, we receive of all the wonderful promises that Jesus died for us to have. We receive of the health, divine health. We receive of divine strength. We receive divine longevity, wholeness in our bodies, in every form. And even receive of the provision that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us to have. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, because we are provided for and we are full. We are satisfied because your word says you satisfy our mouth with good things and renew our youth like the eagles. So even as we partake of this, our youth is renewed, our health is renewed, our strength is renewed in Jesus' name. So partake of the bread. Even in the same way as you partake of this wine, I want you to see yourself as a part of this new covenant which the Lord Jesus Christ died for us to be a part of. And everything, every promise of His actualized in your life in the name of Jesus. Every promise of sanctification, of redemption, of divine purpose, of divine speed, strength, and every such thing, that you shall fulfill your purpose. And that even it crowns this year with goodness. And your path drip with abundance according to the word of the Lord. So as you partake of this wine, see your path dripping with abundance. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for you've crowned us with goodness and with abundance for this end of year. We thank you because nothing is as it was. We increase, we grow. We thank you because new avenues are created. We pursue our purpose in a new way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, where is the lady who had a sick person last time? Did she come? And who is this one? Whose son? Sorry? What is she suffering from? So they haven't found what she's suffering from.
She's called Lydia Nabukera.
Lydia who?
Lydia Nabukera.
Lydia Nabukera.
Yes.
Okay. Whatever sickness she's suffering from, it has a name. Okay? And the name of Jesus Christ is greater than every name, including the name of that sickness, whatever it is. We don't need to know the name. So now in the name of Jesus, we agree that Lydia Nabukera, in Jesus' name, we agree and we ask Father that Lydia Nabukera gets instant healing. We ask for wholeness. We ask for revival of every part of her body in the name of Jesus. And we decree that she steps out of that hospital healthy and well. And so does her child. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Do you agree? Do you agree with me? Amen. Amen. Now, next Saturday next week, we have a Watchman conference. And it's going to be on these grounds. And we are going to discuss very, very important topics about end time, because that is the core commission of this ministry. We are going to discuss where we stand in the end time and what we expect and some of the things that we see happening. So if there's anybody that you love, invite them for the conference, even if they are not believers. Because the last conference we had some years ago, pre-COVID, was it pre-COVID? Post-COVID, it was 2022. The last conference we had, there are so many people who are not believers who came, and they were blown away by some of the things. It was actually after COVID, because that's when we showed them so many things. We showed them how there was, I remember some doctor who came, and sometimes those people think they know so much about these bodies. Anyway, praise the Lord. So even if the person is not born again, invite everybody. I want to invite everybody. It will be a Saturday. We'll start early morning. We shall have lunch here. Do we have breakfast? We have breakfast. And lunch. We are prosperous people, man. Abundantly what? Supplied. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We give breakfast, we give lunch. Talk to us nice, we might even give you dinner. So on that day, you don't have to believe God. Praise the Lord. Now, but it's very important, invite everybody. Number one, and it's not this usual, but we are talking about current affairs vis-a-vis the Bible and understanding where we stand in all of this. Then, so invite as many people as possible. We are going to be here. This time we are not going to be having people from up country unless they come. People have already started asking, requesting to come. If they can, they come. But we want the church to know that we really are living in the end times and where we stand in that grand scheme of things. So make sure that, don't be lazy. Just invite somebody. It might be all you have to do. Because, how many places will you invite somebody where they are giving breakfast and lunch? Even if that's all that brings them. They will listen to the word of God. You see, there are some people who, when people, first cut of this, there are some people who when, some people are determined to go to the first heaven. You know the first heaven, which is the one there, which is the way God intended the earth to be, very glorious, but a bit of, now, anybody who involves himself in actually stepping out to preach the gospel, one way or another, and actually actively participates in converting people to Christ, graduates from first heaven to second heaven. There's also a third heaven. But some people might want what? But it's okay. But also, we might end up there. Third heaven is for those people who walk with God, walk closely with God, who have a real relationship with God. Now those ones will be there, the other ones will be there bongaring with Apostle Paul and so on. Now if you don't learn how to at least preach the gospel, you'll be bongaring with these Muslims who got born again on the deathbed. Because they go to heaven and they even first teach them the Bible. They even first tell them, come and let us teach you. John 3:16 says what? Because you see the Bible says the saving of the soul. Because all the effort you put in building your soul does not end here. It actually goes there. Because you occupy the state of your soul when you're there. So now what I'm telling you is, invite somebody. Don't be like this person who says, okay, I'll come, and you make it look like you're doing us a favor by coming. No. Invite somebody. You might just graduate from first heaven to what? Second heaven. Eh? Otherwise, there you'll be with people who don't know anything about what? Yeah? While for us, we're having cappuccino with Apostle Paul. I'm joking. Anyway, my point is, please invite people. Praise the Lord. That's, it's very important because it's real end-time teaching and it's transformative. Glory to God. God bless you.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabo Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.